Good morning. I hope everyone's having a great day. I want to say a special thank you to Robert and Dennis, who worked diligently over the last couple of days getting the booth ready. So I'm praise the Lord for that. And it's looking really good. And so I'm looking forward to getting in there myself and getting started so that I can join you all back in the church building. And so let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the time we get to look in your word and for these great prophecies you give us, Lord, to help us to see the future. I know it's an exciting time, Lord, that we are living in to see a lot of these prophecies coming to pass and to fruition, time is getting short, Lord. I can see it, and help us all to continue to strive to meet your goals and to be a workman, watchman on the wall for you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to thank you so much and be with us and help us through this message for this time of this Bible study. And we give you all the praise, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So I message to the faithless shepherd. So we're in chapter 34. So we officially crossed over into what is called the predictive phase of Ezekiel's book. And starting here in 34, it's going to be a message about how, remember we were talking about all the false prophets that were spreading untruths, and Ezekiel was trying to counteract, and along with Jeremiah. I was also having a lot of trouble with false prophets who were saying this or saying that to try to make the people think that nothing was going to happen. So here we have the truth, in fact. And so God has a message he's going to send through Ezekiel about all these faithless prophets, now that we've identified them, and how important it is for us that we look to the Lord. Whenever we want to know something about, you know, you look back at Ezekiel's time and they didn't have what we have today in the entire Bible. They probably had up to about, they probably had the Psalms, the Proverbs, everything David did, Solomon did. Maybe some of Jeremiah's writings. I have a feeling that they knew of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a bit older than they are. So he was prophesying all this back in Jerusalem before they even left for Babylon. But other than that, they didn't have the complete they didn't have the New Testament at all. It was still about 586 BC at the moment. And so we're privileged to be able to have the whole Bible to look at this. So hopefully we look to it. Whenever we see something that somebody is saying as being from God, the first thing we should do is be studying our Bible to see, because nothing that God is doing is above what he's already written in the Bible. I bet he makes quite a few statements on that fact. So I'm going to take the first 10 verses today, and a lot of great information in here. This is really packed full of information, this first part of 34. So let's jump into it. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? In other words, they were only in it for the money for themselves. Basically, they wanted to hear themselves talk as I think probably the way God might put it. And so this is so the first verse that come to mind for me was woe to the idle shepherds. And that actually has a little bit of a prophetic angle to it too. As we get through this, you're going to see some prophecy in here too about the famous idle shepherd, better known, we know him as the Antichrist, who will be coming in the future. But over in Jeremiah 23:1, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Ezekiel 11:17, woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. And his arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. That right there is a prophecy of the Antichrist. And some believe, I'm starting to see it, I'm starting to be a little bit more convinced of it myself, that if you look at what they're talking about here, that the Antichrist is going to suffer an injury of some sort, where he's going to be proclaimed to be dead, and that he's going to come back to life, kind of like to try to mimic what Jesus did for real. And so when he comes back to life, though, it says that he won't have use of, he'll have an injury, according to this verse. He'll have an injury on his arm and his right eye. And some people see that mark of the beast as like a way of being showing your allegiance to this leader afterwards, so that you would have, somehow you would mark up your eye, or your forehead. You know, the verse there in Revelation that talks about the mark, Revelation 13, chapter 13. Will be on your forehead or on your right hand. Could be symbolic of this verse of what's going to happen to the Antichrist in the latter days. So if you're seeing this video and it happens to be that all the Christians disappeared and things are looking really weird around the world, make note of this person that may appear to die and come back to life, but that he has an injury to his arm and to his right eye. Kind of interesting that this verse was written at about 587 BC. So I don't know when at this point, I don't know when the tribulation is going to be, but if you're in the middle of it, you know about how long ago this prophecy was. Kind of interesting. It's my hope that some of these videos will make it through to some of the remnant believers, and it'll enrich them as they face the trials and tribulations of the tribulation period. Okay, on to Luke 20:46. Here's Jesus himself going to talk. Beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at the feast, which devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers. The same shall receive greater damnation. This is going again to false prophets, or these people that are more into the glory of the ministry than they are into the substance. And you know, down through the ages, I'm sure anyone who's been a believer for long enough has run into these types that get on the TV and they're you know, they talk about you too could be a millionaire, you know, and they got all kinds of great speeches about what you could be. And a lot of them really don't showing the biblical standing of what reality is. It God provides riches. He provides for us, definitely. And if you pray and you follow him, he will provide. But it doesn't mean you're going to get rich. Okay, Romans 16:18 also. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So again, all these verses are talking about these false prophets. Isaiah 40:11. Now this is talking about that verse where it says feed themselves, not others. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them. Now this is talking about. These verses I'm going to read here are more in what they should be doing that they're not. So rhetorical, something like that. He shall feed his flock. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. And John 21:15 through 17. This is Jesus again. And this is a famous speech. You remember talking about being a good shepherd, about feeding the flock. And I love this little story here. When you remember Peter denied the Lord three times. And you remember towards the end, after Jesus' resurrection, and they're down by Sea of Galilee, and Jesus talks to Peter. And some interesting notes here is that he calls him Simon, so that he kind of brings him down a peg to say that you know, he messed up when he denied him. And so Jesus is going to confirm with him what his mission really is. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" And obviously, he's pointing to the fish. So they had just caught a big... I might notice that in the Greek, this is written in the Greek originally, that love, the word love can have three meanings. And there's three different words used for love, where we don't necessarily separate, the Greeks do. And there's agape love, which is a love like God. It's a total love. I think the closest we could come is like a love we have for our children. It's so encompassing that we're willing to put down our lives for our children and our spouse. That's the kind of love that you're talking about when you're talking about agape love. But true agape love is really only achievable by God himself. So here Jesus is using agape love. So to continue, he said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." Okay, now the love that Peter uses here is known as a phileo. And phileo love is like the love of a friend, like you would love your brother in Christ, and that you know, the friendship kind of a love. There's a third one having to do with the love between a married couple, but that isn't used in the Bible anywhere. It has more to do with the intimate type of love you have with a spouse. And I don't know the exact. It's like enos, I think, is what it's, what the word is. So here, so continuing in John 21:16, he said to him again, the second time, Jesus speaking, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And again, that lovest has to do with agape. And he said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my sheep." Now that's twice. Now down to verse 17. And he said unto him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" This time Jesus changed the lovest to friendship love instead of agape love. And he said unto him, that's why Peter was somewhat grieved. And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." And Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep." Okay, and that's the basic exchange. And the beauty of this whole thing is that Jesus did it three times to represent the three times that Peter denied him. And he wanted him to understand that he's going to, so basically Jesus is forgiving him. And that he's going to, you know, that he's accepting his repentance. And he did it three times to emphasize that. Well, I'd love if you really study Peter. We had to study a while back. Boy, what a change in him after this point. Because I just picked one example over in 1 Peter 5, 2 through 4. And here Peter himself is talking about feeding the flock. "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." And of course, the chief shepherd is Jesus Christ himself. And so Peter sure had a change of heart. Matter of fact, I love that sermon he gave right after Jesus' ascension, and the Holy Spirit came upon Peter and the whole, you know, all the 12. And he saved like 5,000 people at the Temple Mount one day, and baptized them all. What was it, 3,000? I think it might have been 3,000. But he sure got on fire for the Lord, and that was awesome to see the change in Peter. It's just amazing. Okay, continuing, still on verse 2 here. I know that's what I meant by there's a lot of information in this, talking about the idol shepherd. But also in Luke 18, got another great story I really like. Again, Jesus speaking. And the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" And he spake this parable unto a certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Again, this is Jesus talking. He's kind of pointing out these glory-driven false prophets. Two men went up into a temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess." And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. So what he's basically saying here is that this Pharisee got his reward here on earth, so he's not going to get any reward in heaven. And so basically the idea is that we should be humble when it comes to our work in the Lord, and not do things just for the glory of it, I guess, is the other aspect of that. Okay, finally get to 34:3. You can see why I only took 10 verses today. You eat the fat, and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. Now we're back to talking about the false prophets again. So as you eat the fat, and you clothe you with the wool, you kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. So you're in it for yourself, basically what Ezekiel is saying here, via God. And so in Isaiah 56, talking about greed, "Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, even one for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant." So again, looking to the what the world can give you instead of what you can give back to the world. Talking about killing them that are fed, over in Zechariah 11:5. "Who possesses slay them and hold themselves not guilty? And they that sell them say, Blessed be the Lord, for I am rich, and their own shepherds pity them not." Okay, verse 4. "The diseased have ye not strengthened, and neither have you healed that which was sick. Neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them." Okay, talking about Zechariah 11:15 through 17 reflects on this. "And the Lord said unto me, Take unto thee yet the instruments of the foolish shepherd. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear the claws in pieces. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened." So again, this is the same verse, except I expanded on it a little bit, of the Antichrist. Talking about the people in Ezekiel's time who are false prophets. But this is also a prophecy of the Antichrist when he comes. Okay. It also mentions being sought here. And over in Luke 15:4, we got a good verse to help with that. "What man of you having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he findeth it. That's I saw this verse. I couldn't help but think about now those that are watching that were in Tug last time we had it. We watched that that one Chosen series where Jesus was talking about this, about the shepherd that leaves the 99 and goes and gets the one. I thought it was a great story, and he picked a shepherd in the crowd and asked him why he did that, you know, and you know, Jesus was being symbolic to say that. So I could see Jesus almost reenacting, you know, that they're reacting that scene, but I could see Jesus using that as an example to a group of people, as he's doing like here. And I think that, and what it represents for those that don't fully understand what we're talking about here is that we are the sheep. And that what Jesus is saying here is that the sheep that go astray, that fall into the world, that kind of forget their calling, that Jesus here is basically saying that the good shepherd will go after that sheep and not let him wander in the wilderness and bring him back into the fold. And it's a testimony of what we should be doing too when we see a brother or sister that that has fallen by the wayside and maybe has lost their drive to follow the Lord, that we go and find them and try to help them to come back and be in the fold again. So that's what we're kind of pointing out here. And what this whole thing is basically saying is that it's important as a body of Christ that we're looking out for one another. And talking about four, so in 1 Peter 5, 2 and 3, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. I know I already read this once. But a good thing to remember, that we're doing it out of love, not for money, not for some prestige. That's important to do it. And that our reward will be given to us in heaven when we get there. And just being in heaven and with the Lord is going to be praise enough. It's going to be awesome. Oh, looking so forward to it. I just sense this so close. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Now back in Ezekiel 34:5. I'm talking about being scattered. Over in Jeremiah 10:21, for the pastors are become brutish and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. And I see that it's interesting to watch this time frame, and the true church is thriving, but the mediocre churches, the ones that the pastors really didn't have a strong desire for their flock, are falling by the wayside. And a lot of church doors closing their doors. And I think that it's due to maybe pastors went out of training, but more that they got into it for the money, and now it's just not worth it. They're not really following the Lord's leading. They're following their own hearts. Also in Jeremiah 23:2, therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. I remember something that I used to hear Pastor Storm say quite often, that he knows it, you know, by him being a pastor, and this is true of any pastor, and we should always pray for our pastors, that they'll get the responsibility of the flock, and that it's important that, because they will be treated and looked and examined a little bit more astutely by the Lord when we get to heaven than just a regular pew person, person that in the flock. So it's important to support our pastor and to really pray for him and always lift him up in prayer. Zechariah 13:7, continuing on the scattering. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. This is talking about when the shepherd just can't take the pressure, and and the sword comes up against him, you know, when the trial comes up against him, that he folds and goes away. And that usually typically scatters the sheepfold too. That's what that verse is commenting about. And that ultimately they'll be fed to the beast, as we hear in Isaiah 56:9. All ye beasts of the field, come to devour, ye all ye beasts in the forest. Over in Acts 20:29-31. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. This is kind of what happened to Ezekiel. That's why I brought it up. Same thing. These false prophets came into the flock and were deceiving them. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. This is actually Paul talking. Paul talking in Acts about when he was going to be leaving the Ephesian elders period of time. If memory serves, let me look real quick and I can tell you. This is when it was when he met with the elders of Ephesus, when he called them to the to say goodbye to him, because he knew that he was probably going to be heading to Jerusalem and be arrested, but he felt compelled to, and then that's where he ended up heading to Rome. So he knew he wasn't coming back. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So this is Paul realized that it's important that, you know, he was giving them warning that to be ever mindful of the of what Paul taught and not be deceived by others. Okay, over to Ezekiel 34:6. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every hill, high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. This is probably something that's going to be prevalent and more so as time goes on. When there's a verse, I don't know off the top of my head, it talks about when the word of God will be hard to even find. And I can imagine that once the tribulation comes, and that the false prophet really starts getting, the Antichrist really gets going, that he's going to have all Bibles destroyed as blasphemy or something along that lines. And just like we're hearing now about what's happening in Afghanistan, even having an app on your phone might be worthy of death by the Antichrist. So, if this happens to be a time frame where somebody is listening to this, take heed to try to protect anything you have that helps you to support your ability to worship the Lord through this trying time. And that if it gets to the point where you may have to die for your belief, it's better, just remember that what's coming for you in heaven is far better than what little gain you might get here on earth. And I'm afraid that some of us are going to face some things that might be rather tough even before the rapture. I'm not sure, but I know I think about it. And so over in, to support this one, in, I'll talk about wandering. Over in Jeremiah 50:6. My people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their respite. Also 1 Peter, talking about Peter again in 2:25. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. Good advice from Peter. Okay, Ezekiel 34:7. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd. Neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, all ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and will cause them to cease from feeding the flock, neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. So I think what God is basically saying here is that these false prophets and these false people, sooner or later the people are going to wake up and realize that what they're hearing is not true, and they're going to fall away, and that at some point they're not going to be even listened to anymore. So it's more of a warning to the false prophets, also to the false shepherds that try to lead their. They're not sticking to the word of God. What concerns me is I'm seeing a little bit of that today, even in certain aspects of what some churches are starting to say about certain types of lifestyle. And so that's where I'm going to stop. Got a couple more verses to support this. Talking about again, it's over in Ezekiel 13:8. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. Ezekiel 3:18. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and they givest him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Something we were talking about yesterday, about watchmen on the wall. So as we see these false teachers and false prophets, I think it's important too to call them out. And I know I've run into a few that their doctrine just doesn't quite make it for me. And so I'm not trying to get argumentative, but I think it's important that if you hear somebody saying something that isn't in the Bible, that it's important to kind of point out in the Bible. That's how I do it, is that I'll just respond with a verse and say, what do you think of this verse? What do you think, so-and-so was trying to say here? Or what was God trying to say here? And I try to pick verses to counteract what they're saying. So it makes people think, well, this guy doesn't sound like he knows what he's talking about. Maybe I should do some reading in my Bible and figure it out. And so I think that's probably the easiest way. I know I've had a discussion online. I'm a member of this group called The Chosen. And The Chosen's a pretty neat program, and I believe that Dallas Jenkins, the founder, he's a true evangelical Christian, but it's gathered quite a following of other faith backgrounds, particularly one that's kind of centered out of Rome. It's interesting to hear them talk sometimes. And so you'll actually get in these when people try talking about certain aspects of the Bible. Just recently, we were talking online about the fact that Jesus had half-brothers and sisters. Well, they actually believe that this particular denomination doesn't believe that Jesus had any brothers and sisters, where it seems pretty plain to me in the Bible. And I actually found a verse I didn't even realize was there. I think it was either Ephesians or Colossians, where Paul mentions James, the brother of our Lord. It's kind of pretty cut and dry that who James was, what I would do in that kind of a case, instead of arguing with them and say, no, you're wrong, or even saying anything like that, I would just come back and say, well, what do you think about this verse? And just quote the verse. Sometimes I get little likes and stuff to say for other people to say, yeah, we support that verse. And I'm kind of hoping that it'll make those of other denominations not feel like they've been wronged, but to really study the word and find out what they're being told, if it's correct. And that's the whole drive. My favorite verse, Acts 17:11, to be a Berean and to accept what you hear, but search the scriptures daily to find out if it's true. And I say that even about anything I say. I can be mistaken for sure. I know I've made mistakes. So don't, but I think that I am very willing to discuss anything too that's in the Bible. What I don't like is what a lot of times they'll come back and say, well, so-and-so saints, so-and-so says this. I said, well, Where is that in the Bible? Yeah, they don't know. Or it isn't in the Bible, actually. It's some, I don't know, some person that down through the ages that wrote a paper and commented on something, and they take it as biblical. Okay, Ezekiel 13:23. Therefore ye shall see no more vanity, nor divine deviations, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I'm going to stop there today, and I've probably already gone over a half hour. Yeah, I have. And so let's end with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time, Lord. And Lord, keep us humble, Lord, to always be striving to preach the word and to preach the word as you wrote it, not with any interpretations or any thing that's not that you didn't intend. So, Lord, help me always to be a Berean and to search the scriptures to know what's true and what's not true. And we give you all the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I will talk to you all again tomorrow, and I hope you have a great day. Oh, and tonight's Wednesday, and I'm hoping to be there tonight. So maybe I'll wave out the window at you. And so I hope to see you tonight, 6 o'clock for midweek service or prayer and Bible study. And talk to you later.